Hi, welcome back to SaaS Radio Hour. I'm here today with Tomas from the Pitch Team. Tomas, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Matthew.
So, Tomas, I'm fascinated by Pitch. It was a product, or the team behind Pitch originally had built Wunderlist, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That's correct. So yeah, the team had a history of building collaborative productivity tools. Christian, the CEO, and a series of founders built Wunderlist, that was later acquired by Microsoft, and they spent a couple of years there, and they got the itch to go at it again, and Christian put the band back together so that they could start thinking, creating a product that would disrupt a stale market. They wanted to go big, and so they tackled an opportunity where you have about 500 million people using presentation software today. So that's kind of the origin story. Is long, and we can touch on that. But the founders really wanted to build on the premise that presentations are very long overdue for an overhaul, right? If you think about it,
right?
Presentation software is just digitizing the overhead projector, pretty much. And we've all been using this technology that is now 30 years plus old, just perhaps in a newer shape or form. And before Pitch, there were a couple of other things that we were all kind of suffering through: version control, uploading files, trying to find images all over the place, handling comments in an infinite number of places, and making sure that the final Dropbox or whatever file was the right one that you presented to customers. And so those were kind of the challenges they wanted to solve, at least initially.
And so, Ray, as you mentioned, you've got presentation software, you've got things like PowerPoint that are basically, I believe, 33, 34 years old. And then the next big leap really was, I guess, Google Slides, sort of bringing more or less a basic PowerPoint style interface to the web. And you had Keynote on Macs, bringing more of, I guess, a slightly more animated, slightly more flashy version of presentations on the Mac. You had some random stabs with tools like Prezi that were trying to make presentations entirely different, not based around slides. And so it seems like Pitch basically still is running with the same general paradigm as PowerPoint, as Google Slides, where you've got a standard slide deck. What is the main thing that you feel like Pitch brings that's unique to the presentation space?
Yeah, your question kind of points in the right direction, definitely, right? With every aspect of what you're creating, collaborating and delivering presentations, we felt was in a need of an overhaul. So kind of the whole package. And we definitely felt that one or two features would only incrementally build on top of what was out there. So we rethought things from the ground up, building an all-in-one presentation software, developing a perfect tool for the next generation of knowledge workers, people that are used to using collaborative tools in other domains. And the other kind of, I think, pretty dramatic shift for Pitch is that we want to turn static documents into living collaborative spaces for teams. I'll elaborate on that in just a second, but presentations typically would be the output of a presentation would be a slide that is very static. And if you want to change anything on that slide, you have to go back to the tool, open the tool, change that, save the file, send the new version around, and things like that, right? So ask anyone who had to update any metrics on a regular basis or any type of presentation that contains living data, how much fun that is to do quarter over quarter. So that's an important area that we want to tackle by enabling kind of direct integrations and things like that. And the key area I think that we're also looking into is how do decks feel when you are done with them, and what do you do with them when you kind of completed the creation phase, right? So there is obviously much more that happens once you're done creating a deck in multiple contexts. And that's an important part of what Pitch is working on. So I would say that what we've been working on so far is just the intro into what's really coming up. And you know, just to perhaps round up on this, is we've seen an incredible pickup from the community just by building, I would say, the first phase. So a better tool to create presentations, a faster tool to create presentations, and a more fun tool to create presentations. We have over 25,000 teams using it in 130 plus countries,
Wow.
By some top brands, I mean, ranging from Intercom to Superhuman to all the cool kids. Even though we're a Berlin company, I would say a lot of the Valley folks and New York folks and folks all over the place are using it. And so we're just overwhelmed by their response this early on. We only launched Pitch officially in October. Before that, we ran a quite extensive beta program to really kind of nail that experience. And 2021, it's very ambitious for us, both on kind of doubling down on the create side and improving that experience even more, adding more integrations and building beyond, I would say, this first phase. So everything that happens after presentation is already created and you have to deliver it in front of an audience.
So it's interesting you mentioned that about Pitch growing fast. And I think you said despite being based in Berlin. But often I think of Germany in relation to a lot of startups that are very design oriented. Of course, Wunderlist originally was based in Germany. And then we've on the more Mac and iOS side, there's Ulysses, there's Things, the to-do list app. And a number of other products that have come from Germany. I think it's interesting. There's seems to be quite a strong startup software base in Berlin and in Germany in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, why I said despite being based in Berlin is because sometimes, and I've spent like 10 years almost like in the US being European originally, but sometimes like everyone feels that companies can only be built in a very specific region of the world, right? And that's obviously changing fast. And as you mentioned, I think that, you know, European companies often have a very, very strong sense for design. And definitely Berlin is one of those hotspots in Europe alongside London and, you know, many emerging cities. The other thing is our team is completely remote, as I imagine. A lot of teams are,
Yeah,
we have,
especially
we
this
have
a, year.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's also helped us, I would say, one, recruit talent, great talent all over the place, but two, kind of dog food into our own tools and our own experience and built for the future. But yeah, to go back to your kind of original thing, like I think Europe is a great place to start companies right now. I think there is plenty of talent, there is plenty of capital, and I think the ecosystem is, you know, already producing very, very good products, but also very meaningful companies. And we look forward to kind of continue that and build on top of that with Pitch.
I think it's interesting then too, if especially with Pitch being based outside of Silicon Valley and then also as a remote team, that means your team's working remotely, building this product that's sort of built around remote work to a certain degree. One of the big things that jumps out from Pitch's landing page is the collaborative view, where you've got a video, basically a video chat, a video avatar more or less as a circle attached to your cursor as you're sort of moving around the slide deck. I'm curious, do you know what was the inspiration behind that? And why having an embedded video along with your cursor instead of a standard sort of floating like a Zoom style window?
Yeah, of course. So basically our early audience research revealed something that's a little bit counterintuitive, if you think about it, but that many of today's knowledge workers don't particularly like the process of collaborating on presentations in real time, or any kind of documents if you want in real time. So they'd much rather work on a document alone, even if it takes longer, and then share it and so on. And so we felt it was really important to build tools where you can craft a story together, and bring teams closer. And we found that, you know, this was a good way to go about it, right? Like the way we typically build products is we start thinking about the human connection around that. We started thinking about how can that communication flow can flow from comments into kind of a more real-time collaboration. And it was very natural to add video to, you know, shared cursors and so on. Like, those video calls were already happening in some ways. Now we made it easier, and bringing that into the product itself, you know, makes you skip a couple of steps, but also opens up a whole bunch of opportunities for us in the future. And most importantly, you know, users don't have to go back and forth too much when the conversations get heated. Like, they just pop up the video, talk it through, and get to a good place with a slide or a deck, and then they move on to whatever else they were working on. So it's very handy to kind of clear up quick comments on the go. But the really key driver for this was human connection. When you see a face and a smile on the other side, it makes a whole lot of difference.
Yeah, definitely. I often have worked with editors in the US while being in Bangkok, where I live, and you would wake up in the morning with Google Docs comments, say, on your work, and maybe something sounds a little bit critical, or something sounds a little bit, you know, not exactly what you want to wake up to in the morning, right? Whereas when you're able to talk over something, it may have not even actually been a critical comment. It's just something that needed change, something that needed tweaked, and that bit of conversation can probably help that whole process flow along better than just a standalone comment that's like, hey, this needs changed.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we think that, I mean, what we see and what our users tell us is that this really makes a difference, right? Like, I keep coming back to that, but a smile is a very powerful thing, and body language is a very powerful thing. And so oftentimes that gets lost just in the textual comments, which tend to be more factual. Perhaps, you know, not everyone is a native speaker. Sometimes we don't express ourselves in the best and kindest way, if you want. Getting face to face, even in these times, it can make a whole lot of difference. That said, now that we know this, we've also been exploring ways to make that asynchronous or possible asynchronously, right? So let's say you wake up in Bangkok or wherever you are, maybe you can record something that someone else can consume on the other side, and you get this message across in a more rich way than just typing it out. So you know, we're experimenting a lot with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was actually what I was going to ask next, if there is a way to sort of, I guess, leave a video voicemail of sorts and sort of add your comment, but with a video, but not have to be in the same online at the same time. If that's coming soon, that'd be really cool if you can pull that off.
Well, I can't comment on that. Let's leave it at that.
The thing with presentations I'm curious about on the collaboration aspect is different types of work feel like they get collaborated on at different levels of completeness. So say with writing a blog post, often our team would discuss it beforehand, and then you'd work on your own thing. And in that, you don't necessarily need to collaborate. But then when you're ready to have someone edit your draft, that's when you dump it into Google Docs and get comments. With a presentation, where do you tend to see teams jumping into the collaborative mode? Does someone tend to build out the deck first and you get input from the rest of the team? Or are people splitting it up? Or have you seen any trends with how people tend to collaborate with presentations?
Yeah, this is a fantastic question. So there are a couple of cases, and might kind of just talk through them. So one of them is you have, let's call them a presentation owner, and they create the outline or the skeleton, if you want. And then, you know, Pitch enables you to kind of easily assign parts of the presentation to your team members, right? So I'll use a board deck as an example. Typically, the presentation owner is the CEO, and then you have different parts of the team that contribute. So the CEO would create a skeleton, then they would assign different areas, perhaps metrics to the analytics team, finance to the CFO, you know, marketing section to the head of marketing, and so on. And then those teams can collaborate on their individual sections. And then there is a wrap up of key stakeholders with a deck review and kind of marking everything as done. And then you have another group of people that are typically presenting. So this is another interesting trend we're seeing, is that presenting is not a lonely sport or a one man sport, right? It's teams present as teams as well, which is really interesting. Mm. But then on the other side, we've also seen workshops being run with Pitch where the entire team collaborated basically from the get-go and built decks from scratch, literally from the very first step. So I think we are also learning about the patterns, but yeah, different in different contexts for sure.
Yeah, interesting. I know our team at Capiche, we use Google Slides for sort of what you said as teams presenting together, where we each have a section in the presentation, we go dump in our charts and stats and whatever we need to talk about, and then someone's hitting next on every slide, but different people are talking through the slides that they had, that they were the ones that they contributed to, which fits a bit with what you had mentioned as being one of the key pillars of Pitch is integrations. Is right now, I believe you have Google Analytics built in. You have video and image GIF type integrations from Giphy and such. Do you see that as being a core part of Pitch going forward? And how do you see that growing? Would ideally, say today, we're using Heap and our team to pull analytics from our software. Would that be something you would imagine in the future you could maybe just embed, say, a dashboard from a data analytics tool like that into Pitch?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, third parties, if you want, or any type of content that's live content from other parts of the internet, right? It's something that you can use as an enhancement for a presentation. And I think integrations, particularly data integrations of all shapes and forms, are a very important piece of what we're building. You mentioned Google Analytics. It's one of those. I think Google Sheets. So if you have custom sheets, you can already import or add that as an integration and refresh that easily. And there is a long list of up and coming integrations that our integrations team is working on, so that you'll be able to show anything that's really matters to businesses typically. So from revenue to kind of more marketing oriented numbers, sales numbers, without naming kind of the key providers for that. I mean, but you can imagine being able to build an entire board deck or even a dashboard with those integrations, and they would either automatically update or you can manually update them if you want to have a certain cadence. But that living in if you want, interactive charts on a slide is very different than exporting a static graph, that you have to go through the entire workflow to get the new graph on a slide. Right. So definitely important. Now, the other part you mentioned is perhaps more media oriented, so video, audio, things right. like that. We are already enabling YouTube embeds, Vimeo embeds, and one that's being used quite a lot. One of our partners is Loom. Would record their screen and perhaps quick demos and things like that, and just embed them in presentations. We see that as a pretty big opportunity to expand on that. And yeah, later this year, I think that list is going to be way, way longer.
That'd be awesome. Is there a public API for Pitch today where you could sort of build your own integrations with in-house tools or with other third-party products that have a public API?
Not quite yet, but that's definitely something we're exploring. We obviously can't build every single integration in the world ourselves, and so we'd very much like to enable others to help there if it makes sense for them. So we're definitely something we're exploring, and we have activities on our team going pretty deep into that. Even my background a long time ago used to build a messaging platform as a service. And so we have a lot of experience kind of building tools for developers that they can use to build pretty amazing integrations. I think you're going to be quite excited with what you see later this year.
Yeah, that's awesome. Another Pitch feature I was wanting to talk about today was the command palette, which As I mentioned with collaboration, it feels like different types of products are collaborated on in different ways, but also different types of output are built in different ways. So if you're writing or you're sending emails, a command palette feels like it makes a lot of sense, or especially for developers where the command palette sort of started in tools like Sublime Text. Your hands are on your keyboard, you're typing, you hit command K, and you jump to a different command that you need. With presentations, I'm curious, do you see that same workflow being used? Because I feel like often when I'm making a PowerPoint deck, I'm using my mouse a lot more like I would say in something like Photoshop, more like another design tool, than I do with keyboard powered tools like writing or coding.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we are all about making things easy and fast for our users. And so the concept of a command line in presentation software was aimed at making some tasks faster, right? Like it was not about necessarily replacing the mouse or a pointing device for everything. Because in design tools, like it's quite handy if you actually can move things around with certain precision, but it also takes more effort, especially when you're on a laptop or something like that, when your trackpad is not huge and everything is moving around you and all of that. So there are several tasks that we believe are either repetitive enough or slow with a mouse, where just, you know, typing command K and then starting to enter the command, it's way faster to get there. So I'll give you one of personal favorites. You can tap command K and then you can basically say left half, right half. And if you have an image selected, that image is going to take over the entire half of the slide, right? Which is way faster than clicking on the image and trying to accurately hit exactly the half pixel of your slide. And there are a bunch of like small things like that. And once you're a power user, they actually speed up your workflow pretty dramatically. The other one that I love is just workflow tools. So assigning slides and setting them as or marking their status, right? So selecting a few slides, command K, make to do or something like that, instead of clicking on a bunch of parts of the interface. So you see where I'm going. Like we're not trying to replace every single mouse interaction, but some of those are more handy if you just start typing.
Right, and it's easier to discover features like that too. If you had, say, a option to snap an image to half of the slide hidden in a menu, it would be rather difficult to find that unless you just record and click through all the menus. In a command palette, you could just type and search for that. I'm curious, exactly. Do you have any ways that you're trying to surface features like that, sort of help people know, hey, you can do this in an easier way than you could in Google Slides?
We do. Actually, our product marketing team has built a whole system around this with a series of other SaaS tools. So we look at how first-time users start using Pitch and kind of what are the hard parts and try to optimize that, obviously, just like I think every other healthy SaaS product. But we also have regular, Pitch secrets, if you want, decks in this What's New publishing, where we present new features. And the third thing is when you start typing, you get commands, like more than one command typically. And so that helps people see like what other options are there. And so we are also exploring a bunch of other things, like how to surface quick commands. If you did that same action with your mouse, you know, next time you can do it this way and it's going to be X faster. And things like that. Obviously, it's a big area, and Pitch has a ton of surface area as a product. So we're getting there with all of these.
So your role at Pitch is focused on presentation experience. I'm curious, what do you feel like is from a presenting and listener view? If you're in a presentation, right? You're listening to a presentation or you're presenting. What do you feel like is the most broken in the standard presentation experience there?
Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, we believe that software has done a decent job at digitizing the creation of a slide, right? But it's still a collection of pretty much images that you move left and right through. And the result is hardly engaging. I mean, it's a nice visual aid, but, you know, slides are, I would argue, not super, super engaging unless the speaker is really engaging and so on. So that's that's what I feel is broken. And we're looking at that from the ground up. So first of all, like pitch presentations are, you know, way more interactive in terms of components, right? Like they're all web components. So you could potentially do something with them at some point in time. The second thing is basically we are looking at bringing a completely new way of highlighting things. So as a presenter, you would have a narrative that's pretty linear with your slides, but you could highlight part of that presentation as you go, depending on, you know, your line of thought or maybe a question or things like that. That's a
right.
I think that that's going to be quite interesting to see. People are responding really well to our early prototypes. So when we get that out there, I'm looking forward to it. And finally, I think that, you know, presentations are only half of the whole story. The narrative is really what matters. So, and unless you want to have a presentation with very, very long presenter notes that you share as a side document, you know, you typically only get half of the narrative, right? It's really important what people have to say on top of the deck. And so, you know, I think it's quite broken that you send over a PDF file that's missing more than half of the story. So we're working on bringing that to presentations so that you'll get one, the deck, but also the entire performance, if you want, or narrative, and not only from one presenter, but perhaps multiple presenters. And you know, you can imagine, like, once we have that, making that easily searchable, and perhaps bringing that to more than just pitch is kind of the next thing that we want to do. So,
very cool. Does pitch have a way to publish decks online right now, where you could just say embed a pitch into your website? And if so, do you plan to have, I guess, more tools around that, like you mentioned, to share the whole story around the presentation?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one of the great things about being on the web is that you can just publish a presentation and take the link and embed it in, you know, whatever tools that you are using or on a public website. So, you know, our team embeds quite a few presentations in Notion, which we use as an internal tool. Mm. We've seen people embed it or just publish it as a website, literally pointing a live URL, oh, wow, short URL to it. I mean, let me tell you that story. So it's actually a very interesting company called Yak. And they are sort of audio messaging, like I think you might know the team. Nice. And so they just closed a $7.5 million funding round with a public pitch presentation that, you know, they just put on a nice looking link, and they shared that presentation with future investors, and that was the process. And so,
nice.
You know, we firmly believe that presentations are living web documents, and as such could take on a number of different lives, if you want, you know, some of them being private and staying within the organization, but also quite public, as, you know, publishing a website from a deck and things like that. And that's possible today. You just go to the product, you click share, you can get a public link, and you can send the link around, and the other party doesn't need anything to open that presentation, and they get a full experience.
That's fascinating. I know Notion is also often used in that way nowadays, where people are using it to publish their notes, essentially build a whole website around their notes, which is almost a hack. It's more or less where Notion had an option to share a page, and then people took it further, and there's even a app that will let you add a custom domain to Notion. And it's not officially supported, but it's wild to see people take an existing tool and sort of push it into a way that I guess wasn't intended from the start.
Yeah, and we are observing, and we're making notes, and, you know, eventually we'll basically make it easier to do those things that folks are already doing and that get them some benefits as users. So
the typical advice a decade or so ago would have been, you should have 10 slides, take 20 minutes for your presentation, and use a 30-point font so people can read stuff easily. Is that still relevant today? Or what would your tips be if you were telling someone, here's the way to make an impactful presentation?
Yeah, I remember that rule. And you know, I think that that really depends on the context. It was definitely right. If you remember 10 years ago, you mostly presented with a screen behind your back and an audience in front of you sitting in a physical space, right? And so the font has to be large for them to see. And this was just a you know, visual aid to make your points come across. But I think we got a long way from there. And that not every story can be told with huge fonts, few words on a slide. And it really depends on the context. Again, kind of going back to you know, more internal presentations, like updates on specific parts of the company or the board decks, all hand meetings and so on. You need a little bit more text if you want to tell the story sometimes, and those visuals yeah. kind of just help. And so I wouldn't say there is a one size fit all advice here. The way we like to think about it as a team is, you know, like I said, there are multiple contexts and there are good layouts for each individual context. And so in terms of getting things off the ground quickly, we are developing a whole set of templates, working with third-party experts to kind of get even better templates there. So depending on the story you want to tell, you can quickly assemble those layouts in a, let's call it in a deck narrative, and then fill it out and have it in front of your audience quickly. But yeah, I think when we go back to public keynotes, you know, the 10 slides, 20 minutes, 30 point font definitely is going to have its place again.
It feels like that advice was almost a backlash against the standard PowerPoint style, where people would have a heading at the top and then three or five bullet points on it. One slide. And it just felt like there was so much information trying to be packed into one slide, you could barely read it before the presenter went to the next slide. And then, mm-hmm. of course, you went almost in the opposite direction. And when you try to follow this advice, you end up with just the headline. And then everything else is leaning on the speaker to just say what they're talking about. And the presentation ends up being more or less decoration rather than actually sharing much real info.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on that. Right? And I think that the challenge has been the fact that, you know, people were demanding to see presentations before the whole narrative was delivered, right? The other thing is,
yep.
you know, our eyes are very fast at scanning information. And so, you know, you can read it through a slide faster than anyone can tell the story through that. And for us, it's all about the tool, right? So we can build things that enable even those that are not extremely skilled at creating presentations or even delivering presentations to come off as masters of this craft on all parts. So some of these things happen while you're creating it. Some of these things happen while you're presenting it. And when I mentioned ways to highlight things that are on a slide and so on, you know, perhaps that's a path where you can have a slide that is very specific and that you can read on your own. But also, if someone is presenting it, they can go and take section by section and make that appear front and center, because it's important to tell the story in that way. And that includes data that is very, very hard to animate, like graphs or tables or things like that. So
you had mentioned,
yeah,
sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so you had mentioned earlier in the conversation how PowerPoint basically were just digitalizing overhead transparencies. And then we went to standard conference rooms with a standard projector, and we were using the same basic concept, right, of slides and putting them on an overhead screen. But it got fancier. It looked nicer. And now we've got the past year in 3 months now, that much of the world has been locked down in the pandemic and we're not having meetings in person. Everything's on Zoom and online. How do you see presentations changing in a more distributed workflow, in a more digital first world where maybe we're not watching slides behind a presenter? Maybe that's the main thing we're consuming.
Yeah, exactly. You're spot on. Maybe let's start with a little bit of history. It seems that you know, there was always this concept of audience in front of you, screen behind you. But we know, and we found some data that there was always like one, two people joining remotely, even in the pre-COVID era. So this kind of concept has been already there for a while. The tools haven't caught up, but now we are all forced in this new reality. And so it's way more asynchronous than ever. You know, you might not even want to attend the presentation as it's going on, because you might want to watch it at a time that's convenient for you. Plus, you might want to watch it at 2x the speed, which I'm sure a lot of listeners are going to listen to this podcast asynchronously instead of, yeah, right?
Exactly.
So it's a, at that right. 2x speed in. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier. We believe presentations can be of quite fluid format that has a lot of interactive components, not just a series of images that you move through, right? So if you take all of that into account, and if you take into account that in this new world, the presenter or presenters typically have a screen in front of them and a keyboard and a pointing device in front of them, and that everyone in the audience also has a screen in front of them and typically some input, this becomes much more, or we think that presentations and delivering that narrative becomes much more interactive, much more of a communication tool rather than, you know, a broadcast, one-way broadcast. And so we are thinking a lot about how do we bring concepts like, you know, someone raises a hand in the audience, like what does that mean in the new reality? Or, you know, the audience wants to applaud because they heard something great. Like, what does that mean in the new reality? And how can we enable that? How do we enable people to ask questions? How do we enable presenters to answer those? How do we enable presenters to pass the mic, right? Perhaps you might have a few experts as part of that presentation, and it's really silly to keep saying next slide, please, while you could just take over and guide the presentation from there. And so we feel like that there's a huge opportunity, again, to move on from this overhead projector concept into the future, for lack of a better phrase, where, you know, we all sit behind a screen and we all have ways to interact with the presentations, even if the presentation is happening live in front of our eyes in real life. So,
which would almost push pitch into perhaps webinar type space, or even perhaps having live polls or survey type stuff built into the presentations, perhaps?
Perhaps yes. So like I said, I mean, you know, they're for us, like, it's very simple, right? It's you create this content that tells a story, and you deliver the story. You deliver it either live or asynchronously, and then this story has an audience, and this audience, you know, consumes the story or gets the story, but they can come back and react to it and act on it. And so that is what you mentioned, questions, maybe it's, you know, reactions, things like that. And like everything we try to build is needs to be engaging, collaborative, and fun. And so you can imagine how, you know, taking advantage of this new reality, like we can build things that are really collaborative, really engaging, and really fun. And one of the cases that we've seen pitch being used a lot for is workshops. And so we feel like there is a pretty interesting opportunity to build tools to enable really great workshops.
So in the chat, we just had a question come in from Daniel, who's listening. And he said, in my experience, we use slides as sort of a fallback plan as a way to share and whiteboard ideas. Is that something you see pitch being used for as well? Or are you guys hyper-focused on presentations?
Yeah, this is a fantastic question. Thank you, Daniel. Yeah, so we are already seeing people using pitch as, you know, exactly this. Using a slide, we have some stickers that look like post-its, and just putting those there and brainstorm ideas, and technically leveraging as a virtual whiteboard, if you want. Also, we've seen it used as a prototyping tool. We've seen it used as a gallery of images instead of, you know, sharing images a different way, or a playlist of videos, music playlist, and all of that. And so we, like I said earlier, like we are observing, we're taking notes, and some of these use cases are very interesting to us because they expand, if you want, the notion of traditional presentation and everything that has a collaborative element, and, you know, share the whiteboards online or ways to share ideas in a common space. Like, that's super interesting to us.
That's one thing, even as working on a remote team, I've always enjoyed doing when we're in person, is brainstorming ideas with post-its on a whiteboard. You sketch up some ideas, you drag post-its around, put random post-its on the board, try to organize them into sets of similar ideas and go from there. And so if you can do that inside of Pitch as a presentation tool, that's super awesome. I will have to give that a try in the future.
Yeah, for sure. You should.
So what do you feel like is the key thing that for you, that you tended to have a problem when making presentations and using apps before Pitch, that you feel like Pitch managed to solve for you, or that maybe you were able to scratch your own itch and get the team to add a feature that fits something you'd always missed in presentation tools?
Yeah, that's, you know, we like maybe to scratch our own itch, like it's everyone on the team is scratching their itches initially. And like, this is the very, very way the company got started. You know, scratching your own itch was why they started this company. And it's driven a lot about what we call instinctual product design. So basically something that is a real problem for us, and we have an instinct that it should exist. We either prototype it or build it first, and then we validate it. And so pretty much everything you see within Pitch has come from that area. Like, I mean, we are listening to users, obviously, and we're trying to get things in front of users very, very early. Like, most of the creative features that you'll see were itches someone wanted to scratch on the team. It's also quite collaborative.
That's awesome.
In that perspective. And, you know, one for me, like personally, like I hated searching for logos online when building presentations. It wasn't an idea that my team or myself came up with, but one day we just noticed there was this great integration where you can just search for any logo and add it to a presentation straight from Pitch. And, you know, that is a lifesaver in many ways. Then the other one is just having an infinite library of GIFs to put, or GIFs, depending on how you want to pronounce it, to put on slides. Like, that always make sure that there's going to be a good laugh as you're presenting. So those are kind of like cute tools there. But then, like I said, you know, being able to create very nice slides very quickly, that is just great in Pitch. And the other side is workflow management. You know, I help build a lot of presentations that involve various teams within Pitch, and that is a lifesaver for me. So they can just pull in the right people straight from the tool. I don't have to go back and forth in Slack or any other, or over email, God forbid. And we can just communicate there on point, move things forward, and that's great. And I'm scratching my own itch on the presentation side of things now, but you know, maybe we'll reveal that the next time I'm on here.
Nice. Yeah, speaking of, I wanted to wrap this up with asking about what's coming next for Pitch, because I know your team's working on a new release that you're excited about. So I'm wondering, what new features should listeners look forward to being able to try out in the next few weeks on Pitch?
Yeah, so we're doubling down on, you know, a lot of the collaboration things. So in today's release, just as we're talking, or maybe the release is going to be out in a couple of hours, we're bringing in a new follow feature, so you can follow someone around the editor and while you're collaborating with them. But the next kind of area, if you want, where we're going to have a lot of interesting things on, it's multi-platform. You know, we're available on the web, obviously Windows as an app and Mac as an app, but mobile platforms are very, very key to us. When I say mobile, I mean both phones and perhaps slightly larger mobile platforms. So we're already in test flight mode on iOS. And if any of the listeners want to join in, happy to get you in that program. In terms of a bigger picture, we are really focusing on transforming the way presentations are delivered for this new world, the way we mentioned earlier, and the way they can be consumed by the audience, either in real time or asynchronously. And you'll see a lot of interesting stuff coming there, especially narrative, delivering narratives within pitch without other tools. I think that's going to be quite fun.
Definitely looking forward to that. The storytelling features sound like the most interesting thing of how pitch can change the way presentations are seen. I wanted to go back to that point about following someone around the presentation. Could you walk us through how that would work?
Yeah. So, oftentimes you have someone who's leading, if you want, the creation process, or even as you mentioned, kind of one of the last parts of a creation process is just making sure that everything is tight and you walk through as a team. So instead of following or trying to follow people around, jumping on the slide they are on and following the tiny little avatar on that slide, you just click on someone's face and they become your leader, and then pitch automatically follows them around on whatever slide they jump to. And combining
that is really clever.
That combined with a video calling or live collab, when you have your little tiny faces around, it just makes it a very streamlined experience. And for now, that's available on the create side, but you can easily see how we're building a foundation for something more all over the whole journey of a presentation.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can see. So one thing that when our team is using Google Slides often, we've often had that where we each have the deck open on our own computers. We're on Zoom talking and we'll be talking about something and someone would be like, wait, what slide are you on? And you have to go figure out where they're at. So Exactly. That's interesting because it would basically let you present without having the present mode open, right? Like instead of sharing your screen, you're just each share. Watching your own pitch document more or less, and then moving around as the presenter moves around.
Yes, that's exactly right. Like I said, I mean, this first step for us is, still on the editor side and on the creation side. You're absolutely right. Like we hate the next slide, please, or jump to this slide kind of thing, or slide number that, those things should just come naturally as you're using the product. And this is just one small step towards that, where we feel it. People are going to really love it.
Yeah. Next up, you just need a way to pass the baton so someone else can be the next leader.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Tomas, thank you so much. This has been awesome hearing the pitch vision for presentations and how your team sort of rethought presentations and changing how you do digital storytelling. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on and chat with us about this today. And good luck on today's launch.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Matt. And thank you for doing the show. I've listened to a bunch of episodes as this was coming up, and I think you guys are doing a fantastic work here.
Oh, well, thank you. Really glad to hear that. If listeners want to follow up after the broadcast today, the best place to try out Pitch is just to go to pitch.com, right? And then perhaps follow your team on Twitter for updates.
Exactly. So pitch.com to find out a little bit more about what we're up to and to try out the product, at Pitch on Twitter and all other relevant social media platforms. Open for questions. DMs are always open and their entire team is quite active. And so we're more than happy to answer any follow-up questions on there.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. I will look forward to testing out these new features in Pitch. And for everyone tuned in, thank you so much for listening today. That's all for today. Bye.